Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So send us a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we are so happy to welcome Marcia Siegelstein. She has covered family issues for over 25 years as a producer for CBS This Morning. She has also written for Fox News, First Things, and the National Catholic Reporter. Today, she'll be sharing about the great book she has authored entitled Don't Let the Culture Raise Your Kids. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. And make no mistake about it, there is a culture war out there for your children, for your marriage, for your family, and that is real. So as parents, we need to be proactive and we need to be armed.
It's going to be a great conversation, but we do want to mention a couple of our grandchildren.
Yes.
So we had Sienna Robinson, I think she'll be the first one out there. And Sienna made her confirmation.
Yes.
And we're just so proud of her. She picked Mary Magdalene as her confirmation name. And Cecilia, our other granddaughter, was her sponsor. So it's just great to see the grandchildren working together and being empowered with the Holy Spirit. You want to speak about Isabella?
Yes, and Bishop Reka, we did that at the Catholic Church up at St. John the Baptist.
There's about 90 confirmands.
There were 90 confirmands, so thank God for that revival and renewal, and we pray that all these new confirmands stay strong in their faith. Mm-hmm. And then, tis the season, it's softball season, it's graduations, it's confirmations, we got a lot going on. Isabella, who is our first granddaughter, she is graduating college this weekend, so we'll be going to that also, but she's been playing softball for 20 years, and so this was her last game. We saw her when she started in her little t-ball little uniform, and so it was rather emotional to see her swing the bat for the last time on an official team at the University of West Georgia, and it was just tough day.
It was great. I mean, because she's really faced some adversity, has had injuries. She did 5 years, you know, in college playing, as well as the other 15 years. She's an honor student. So there's a lot of reflection, and she wrote like an essay on, you know, what being involved in athletics, the training that took place, the ups and the downs, perseverance. I mean, she really learned so much from that, and now she'll go on to a teaching career.
Yeah, and so that was difficult and beautiful, a lot of emotions for the families, you know, when you see them grow up and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, this is going to be the last gig of this.
So we're going to speak with Marcia Siegelstein. Don't let the culture raise your children. Don't be fit into that schematic plan. And so she's going to pack our toolbox with how-tos and how to stand in the midst of this culture, not to be dictated by this culture, but to stand on the firm teaching of the natural law and the Catholic faith. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we're happy to welcome Marcia Siegelstein, and she has covered family issues for over 25 years as a producer for CBS This Morning. And she has also written for Fox News, First Things, and the National Catholic Reporter. And today she's going to be sharing with us about a great book that she has authored entitled Don't Let the Culture Raise Your Kids. And this great book is available at EWTNRC.com. Well, Marcia, we are so excited to have you. We agree with everything in your book, for sure. But first, we want you to tell our family a little bit about you and your career. And obviously, it was the great inspiration for your book.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be with you. Really a pleasure. So I first started covering family issues for, as you said, CBS This Morning. Then when I had my children, I decided I didn't want to be I wanted to be a full-time mother. So I began to write from home. sort of covering the same topics, family issues, as you said, for different publications. And the more I wrote about issues that confront children and confront parents, issues that children are having to deal with, especially from a faith point of view, it's very discouraging. It's a very tough world out there. It's tough to be a parent now. It's tough to be a child. There are so many negative influences in the world. There's so many ways that the world can draw children away from their parents, away from faith. I decided I just wanted to put all of my thoughts, all of my research, all of the interviews I've done over the years, basically sort of in one place. So that was the inspiration for putting it into the book. I wanted it to be sort of one resource for parents on a variety of topics. And I made a point of including in the back of the book lists of tips and resources, books, authors, places people can go for further help on different issues, because there are so many things confronting parents these days.
So really, your beginning in this area had to do with you're a journalist. And so you're researching these areas. And in your book, you pick the critical role of parents. I think we're going to speak a lot about that today. We found that a very helpful chapter, that parents are kind of are different today in terms of their mindset. And then you got into schools, which has become a very hot topic today. Who has the chief responsibility of rearing our children? And, you know, stuff that the way it was 10, 20, 30 years ago isn't the way it is now. Thank God, I think that's being exposed. You could speak to that. And then the media, you have chapter 4, sex, pornography. You do a whole chapter on pornography, its influence on our children and the culture and parenting. Consumerism, and then your final thoughts and many, many good resources. So why don't you start there with the role of parents and, you know, the different styles of parenting, many of us, the way we were reared or maybe 15, 20 years ago. What are you seeing in terms of parents today and their difference from times past? How are they being equipped to be parents? Where are they coming from in their parenting?
Yes, exactly. So I think that this, of course, is not true across the board. There are different styles of parenting. I think what's sort of pervasive now is this idea of permissive parenting. There are basically three styles of parenting, which we can get into later: permissive, authoritative, and authoritarian. At the moment, I think we're in a phase of permissive parenting, meaning not setting rules, not putting limits on kids, things like that. I've talked to a lot of therapists and psychologists, and I quote them in the book. And one of my favorite authors is a guy named Dr. Bill Doherty, who's a therapist in private practice and a psychologist. And his term for this style of parenting is, he has two words actually, timid parenting and therapeutic parenting.
Right.
That it's very common for parents these days, and he sees it in his practice, for parents to see themselves as therapists. That their kids need to, their psyches can't be damaged. Parents have to be so careful of not damaging their kids' psyches. That they're supposed to be neutral, just listening to their children. Of course, it's important to listen. But a parent's role isn't to be a therapist. A parent's role is to be a parent. So he also refers to this as timid parenting, parents who are basically afraid to be parents. The role a parent is supposed to play is to guide and direct. Children need love, most importantly, and limits. And that's sort of agreed upon by every psychologist I've ever talked to. Children aren't born knowing what's best for them. They're not born knowing how to act. They're certainly not born knowing about the faith. And so the trouble is that with timid parenting or therapeutic parenting or permissive parenting, when there are no rules or limits or no guides, no guideposts, children are going to turn elsewhere for guidance. Mm-hmm. If the parents aren't there to do the guiding, children will look elsewhere for guidance. And the trouble with the world at the moment is there's so much out there for them to access, and it's so easy for them to access it thanks to technology. So that's the trouble. So permissive parenting is, as we just talked about, and then authoritarian parenting, which is the opposite extreme, is also very negative. It's too much control, not being empathic with your children, making rules that are arbitrary. And so the ideal style of parenting, this is agreed on by psychologists sort of across the board, the ideal style of parenting is authoritative, meaning parents should make rules. They shouldn't be afraid to make rules. They need to be able to say no. They have to be able to tell kids what's best for them to do. And the thing is that we do that to some degree anyway. Every parent does, right? We're not going to let our children eat candy for lunch, for example. But in a lot of other ways, we seem to be afraid to do that, to say, no, don't do that, or no, that's not allowed, or this is how we're supposed to act. Dr. Doherty talks in his book about the fact that parents will come to him, let's say a mother will come to him saying, you know, my child kicked me in the shins while we were in the grocery store, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Should I sit down and talk with them and sort of have a teachable moment? Or should I just say, you can't do that? Or he talked about a parents of a teenager who came in, and the teenager was swearing at his parents. And their attitude was sort of like, I want to sit down and chat with my kids and see, why are you doing this? Why are you talking to me this way? And his point is, that's not really, it's good to be able to talk to your children, but that's not really helpful, and that's not, it's not really how a parent, it's not a parent's role. So if we abdicate our role as parents, someone else is going to come in and fill that role. I don't think we really want other people doing that, not in this world.
Yeah. Well, Marcia, so all those different types of parenting, I mean, when we were growing up as children, I think there was like a united front of parents, and then there were children. And it was kind of like everybody's mom was the same way. Everybody's dad was the same way. And there were non-negotiables, and there were strict consequences for disobeying your parents. So we kind of grew up with rules and boundaries, yet love and security. And you always kind of knew where they stood in all of your friends' household, all of your friends and everyone in your school. So how are all these types of different kinds of parenting affecting the children today?
Right. It's a good point about the love and the nurturing. I should have said that at the outset of talking about authoritative parenting. Authoritative parenting isn't going to work without love and nurture and compassion, right? All that is critical. So to be an authoritative parent means you are, as you said, setting limits, making rules, telling children what they should and shouldn't do. You use the term consequences, that's a good word. Another word is discipline. And the trouble is that discipline has sort of gotten a bad rap. Even the term discipline has sort of got a bad connotation these days, right? In the old days, right, I think you're right. Most parents were on the same page. Parents might even say to a child they didn't know on a playground who was acting inappropriately, don't do that, you're not allowed to do that. And you really don't see that happening anymore. And I think it is part of this general trend, this fear of being parental, being authoritative. So it's key to, as you said, have consequences, to set rules, and to parents should determine in advance how they're going to make those rules stick. What are the consequences going to be? What are the, for lack of a better term, punishments going to be? Is it going to be timeouts? Is it going to be withdrawal of privileges? What is it going to be? It should be appropriate to the action. It's got to be something that the children understand that they can cope with. And the whole point of this is to, when a child learns discipline, they're really learning self-discipline. They're learning how to develop self-discipline, how to control themselves. When you're asking them not to hit their brother or sister and you give them a timeout for doing that, they're learning to calm themselves down so they won't do that in the future. Well, in the long term, we all need self-discipline, especially if we're going to be practicing Catholics. We need self-discipline. We need to be able to stop doing things that we shouldn't be doing or not do them in the first place. So the whole goal of this is to institute in our kids self-discipline. That's what discipline is for. And I think parents, that's easy to forget. Another thing many psychologists talked about when I interviewed them was this idea that parents today seem to be afraid to stifle their kids, that we should just let kids be themselves, you know, why not? But that's not going to benefit them in the long run. In the long run, they will suffer. In the long run, so will society.
Well, and to disciple, right, is to discipline, is to teach, is to train. Simple, all how we behave at the dinner table, how we behave when we go shopping, how we behave when we, you know, go in the car. You know, everyone needs to get in the car seat. I mean, it's just, as a mother, and I stayed home and raised our four children, it's constant teaching. You're teaching all day long. And so it's to discipline, but in a healthy way, as to train you up in the way that you should go, so that you will be a good human being, because here you are in the domestic church. You're gonna learn faith, you're gonna learn love, you're gonna learn boundaries. And if we're not teaching this to our children, and like you said, if they're not getting that at home, they're gonna seek outside sources to get it because they need it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. And they'll seek it out, and it will find them. If parents aren't going to be the source of discipline, of guidance, there are so many places for children to turn, where they will find people who will want to guide them. They will start to follow their peers. The accessibility of social media, of phones, the internet. Children are hyper-connected to each other these days, hyper-connected to the world. And there are lots of people in that world, influencers, friends, who want to guide your children toward them, not in the ways that you would have them go. I'm going to read you a quote from Dr. Leonard Sachs, someone whose books I absolutely love and highly recommend. In his book called The Collapse of Parenting, he wrote this: "For the first time in history, young people are turning for instruction, modeling, and guidance not to mothers, fathers, teachers, and other responsible adults, but to people whom nature never intended to place in a parenting role, their own peers. Children are being brought up by immature persons who cannot possibly guide them to maturity. They are being brought up by each other." Mm. Kids spend so much time online, so much time on social media, on Facebook, WhatsApp, TikTok, whatever it is, that those influences sort of can supersede the influence of parents. That's the danger. When we aren't behaving like parents, we're abdicating our role, and someone else is going to come in and fill that role. And that's a danger. There are a lot of dangerous things out there on the internet. When I use the term, you know, friends in quotes, it's not like people are trying to teach them to be good, which is what we're trying to teach them to be. They're maybe trying to influence them to be cool, or to be like them, or to dare them to do things, or even to make them feel bad. So it's important for parents to be the primary influence in their children's lives. If we want to guide them toward faith, how else is that going to work? Mm-hmm. If we want them to respect God, they have to start by respecting us. And you're right, that's something we have to model with love and care and all that stuff. But we have to do it.
Yes. Well, Marcia, we're going to take a break here shortly. And when we come back with the remaining time that we have, we're going to hold you over for the final segment. Maybe you can pack our toolboxes to help to know what an authoritative parent is and what we can do to be that loving, authoritative parent in our children's lives. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. continuing our very important conversation with Marcia Siegelstein. Don't let the culture raise your kids. Marcia, as we were going to the break, I was asking you to possibly just share with us more about how we might be an authoritative parent. Is it ever too late to begin if we feel like we've really blown it? What instruction do you have for us?
Okay, great. Well, to that point, I did ask that specific question of a pediatrician I interviewed on that topic, and he said, no, it is never too late to change a parenting style. He said it's really a common thing. Parents sort of realize things are getting out of hand. They haven't had control. They haven't taken control, and they need to change gears. And so what he recommended, no, it's never too late. And he said, so he recommended sitting down with your kids and spelling it out, saying, look, kids, we're going to change course here. There are going to be some new rules here. We've realized we've made some mistakes as parents, and here's how things are going to change. And he said you'd be surprised at how kids adjust to that and how they appreciate being in on the project. So in addition to that, I would say that the advice I was given by people in the field were, you know, things like start young. When your kids are little, make sure you establish guidelines and rules. You know, three-year-olds shouldn't be hitting each other, things like that. Be in control, be in charge, be able to say no. Start young. And make rules, and make the rules clear, understandable by kids. Tell children, don't ask them to abide by the rules. You just tell them, these are the rules. Chores are a great way. I talk about chores in the book. Assigning chores is a great way to bring a family together. Family togetherness is so important. Chores are good. It gives kids responsibility. Again, the parents are in charge here. Kids are helping out. They're doing chores. Family dinners, so important. There's research that has been done on the importance of family dinners and how kids benefit by family dinners. Another expert that I talked to for this book is a guy named Dr. Thomas Lacona. Fantastic guy, wonderful books. He has a couple of great suggestions. One is to make a family mission statement. Print it up, put it on your refrigerator, on your kitchen wall, make a family mission statement. We are kind to each other. We respect each other. We don't talk back to people. Things like that. What is your mission statement? What are your goals as a family? What are the do's and don'ts? What are the rules? Who are we as a family? I guess one of the final things I'll say is to expect respect. And I think a lot of parents have forgotten that we as parents should expect respect from our kids. We have to respect them too, and we have to model respectfulness to other people. But expecting respect from our kids is sort of this critical thing. And I'm sure we've all witnessed kids acting out in restaurants or in playgrounds or whatever. And not that that's necessarily a new thing, but sometimes the reaction is sort of just to let it go. We should expect respect. Children will learn how to respect others and how to respect God when we teach them how to respect us.
Well, I agree with all that you said. And usually there's always one child in the family who will be the respect police, who will let you know if you've done something wrong, that, you know, we're reporting and letting you know. And we're so grateful for those children in our families.
Marcia, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank God we have tomorrow to hear more, so many areas to touch on. The book is Don't Let the Culture Raise Your Kids. All that Marcia has been sharing today, various studies that she's looked at, the common sense wisdom that she's sharing. She wants to pack your toolbox to be the best parent you could possibly be to those that you love the most, your children. If you don't instruct them, this culture, this world will form them. So God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.